You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, Christmas greetings. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, ahead of another batch of Premier League fixtures over the Christmas period. Dave Kellner here alongside Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern to breeze through these 10 matches with a betting slant as ever. First of all, a warm welcome to Derek McGovern. Are you bar humbug, Derek, or are you filled with Christmas joy?
The former. The former, obviously. Especially after the results on Boxing Day. What a season this is turning out to be. It couldn't be a worse season if my name was Phelps for me. I can't get to grips with it at all. I'm clueless. Clueless in Seattle.
I like the fact that every time we talk about clueless punters, that's the one moment that Lee Phelps gets a name check in this podcast. I quite enjoy that every single year, so I'm happy about that. Tom, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm very happy. No, nobody, you know, I did promise I was going to give everyone I knew a copy of the Boxing Day punts as their only Christmas present, and so far nobody's asked for a gift receipt. So I don't know why, but you know, I was going to point all refunds in your direction, Dave. Anyway, so. There we go. But no, good week.
Very good. Let's get stuck in then. We've got 10 matches to look through, and it starts on Friday night with Hull versus Everton, even though no one knows what day it is at the moment, but Hull versus Everton is Friday night. And Hull are 100-30 to win the game. They draw 5-2 with Everton odds on at 10-11. Enhanced odds, Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 13-8, now 2-1. And if you fancy Snodgrass to score and Hull to win, that was 6-1. It's now 8-1. Tom, Everton ended the run of four consecutive away defeats in the Premier League with a win at the King Power Stadium. That should give them some confidence heading to the KCOM. However, they are priced accordingly, odds on here. And Hull weren't disgraced at home to Manchester City. Did lose that game in the end 3-0, but held their own for 70 minutes and then had to alter the game plan once they went a goal down and the floodgates opened in the end. But Hull Everton 10-11, is that a little bit too short, Tom?
I think so. I mean, you know, even despite Everton getting a couple of victories in the last three matches and in the end narrowly losing the Merseyside derby, you'd probably think it is a little bit short. But the problem is that they're playing a Hull City side who, we seem to say this every week, don't we? You know, valiant effort, good effort, you know, kept a team out for a period of time, but ultimately ended up crumbling. The only really, really embarrassing defeat Hull have had was when they just collapsed at Bournemouth, and they were a disgrace that day. Apart from that, yeah, they're going to hold their head up, but they don't win in games, and they're seven games without a win. They've conceded 15 goals during that run, and they're conceding at an alarming rate at home. They've conceded at least two goals in five of the last seven home games. Nine of the last 14 home and away, they've conceded more than one goal. So if you're not keeping your opponents out to at least one goal, keeping them down to one goal, you got no chance in the Premier League. And you know, if they'd have played Everton maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, yeah, I might think there was a sniff of them getting a result here, but I can't see it. I think Everton are a confidence side. We say it a lot when a team have been on a bad run and they get a couple of results and you think, oh yeah, you know, the confidence is there. But I think Everton are a bit of a fragile side at the moment. So actually going there with confidence is the last thing that Hull would want. And looking at some of the prices here, I think there's some great value with regard to Romelu Lukaku here. You know, he's 10 goals this season. Seven of those have come away from home. He's got three in his last four. And when he's on a streak, you've got to back him as a punter. And some of the enhanced odds here of a Lukaku goal and an Everton win is 2-1. And Lukaku to score two or more is 6-1. He's exactly the kind of player that Hull will not be able to handle. So plain and simple, I'm going for the Everton victory, but I'm going for Lukaku to score it 2-1.
It's a good job they've got him, Derek, because when he's really on form, he's got that pace and power, and he showcased those abilities in Everton's win at the King Power. That second goal was wonderful from Lukaku. Do you view this the same way as Tom or differently, Derek?
Completely differently. There's 10 games on the coupon this weekend, and I haven't got a clue about nine of them, which is a bit of an improvement for me. But this one I have, I can't believe Everton are odds on. You just see Everton odds on, and you basically oppose them, because in no way do they deserve to be those kind of odds here. Okay, Hull got beat 3-0 by Manchester City, but I would argue that Hull's performance against City was better than Everton's against Leicester. And even though Everton got the 3 points and Hull got zero, they're a fighting side, and Everton have lost four. You said in your intro, Dave, Everton lost four straight on the bounce away from home, and I'm not sure that a win at Leicester, who are in disarray, you know, merits a team being odds on in their next game away from home. It just doesn't. I mean, last season, Hull, you know, okay, they've lost a fair few on home soil this season, but last season in the Championship, they lost only one game in what, 23 home matches in the Championship. Now, I know a year can be a long time in football, and it can be considerably longer if you spend it in Hull. But, I mean, they have, you know, there's precedence there. They've got the decent on home soil, and they're meeting the side that aren't any great shakes, Everton. I mean, I you know what, my thoughts about them last season were under Martinez, under Pumpkin Face. They don't seem to have a plan. And in that derby match, the Merseyside derby, it was probably the most insipid performance I've ever seen from an Everton team, and I've watched a lot of Merseyside derbies. So I think Hull are at 100-30 are a massive, massive price there.
Hull 100-30 for Derek. Tom looking at those Lukaku enhanced odds offers. Lukaku to score and Everton to win 2-1, enhanced from 13-8. And Lukaku two or more in the match was 5-1, now 6-1. Undoubtedly the feature match in this game week is Liverpool versus Manchester City. This one televised on Saturday, 5:30 kickoff at New Year's Eve. What a way to see in the new year here. Liverpool versus Man City. 11-8 Liverpool. The draw 13-5 with Man City 19-10. The enhanced odds, Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win, was 16-5. Now 4-1. And Sergio Aguero is back. For him to score and Man City to win, that was 14-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1. We should be entertained here, chaps. Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, two of the most free-thinking managers in the game today, pitting their wits against one another at Anfield. Liverpool, Derek, have an extraordinary record at home against City since the inception of the Premier League. They met each other 19 times, and Liverpool have only been beaten once in that spell. That was way back in May 2003, and they have won the last three meetings in the league as well. I'm expecting fireworks here, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, if this match doesn't see at least four goals, I consider giving up either betting or sex, depending on which is costing me more. you know, I think this is it's going to be, neither side can defend, and both sides attack fantastically. I mean, I don't know what price 0-0 is, but it should be about 33-1, because this match will not finish in a low scoring result. Who will win? Well, instinctively, I'd say Liverpool after watching them the other night, but 11-8 is very, very sure to beat a City side who on their day can steamroll the best. City haven't been on their day for a long time. Against Hull, I thought they were desperately lucky to get a 3-0 win. If that had finished 1-1 or 0-0 even, I think City would have been quite thankful, to be honest, because that's how unimpressively they played. Liverpool are rightly favourites in my eyes. I'm not going on that record against City at Anfield. Yes, it is unbelievably good against a side that's been dominant in the Premier League over the last few seasons. But it's this season now, and that's all that matters. I'm tempted by the draw, you know. I'm tempted by a 2-2 draw. I think Liverpool are too short, and City I can't trust these days. You look at their squad, and they should be doing an awful lot better than they are. But they're not. There's something not quite right. And the thing about City is, if they start fanning around at the back, which is the Guardiola MO, well, those Liverpool forward men, the way they press, it's going to be mayhem. So I couldn't touch City. I think Liverpool are too short. So process of elimination, a draw, but probably a 7-0 draw.
The 2-2 draw is 12-1. If you like the look of over 3.5, which I do as well, 7-4, over 3.5 goals in the game. Tom, your thoughts?
I can't disagree with that. I mean, again, I think if there isn't four goals in this game, and if both teams don't find the net at least twice, I would be surprised. I kind of balance these two sides up, and I'm more convinced about Liverpool this season than Man City, I must say. I think Liverpool's defence is more settled and slightly better. It's not saying a huge amount. And I think going forward, they're more slick than Manchester City at the moment. Man City have been, you know, they've made so many changes to the team. Who knows what team is going to play? The only thing you do know is that Aguero will definitely start the match. And I think him being back gives Man City an absolutely huge boost, because I've watched Man City the last few games and they've been so wasteful with the chances they've created. And let's not forget, you know, I know it was at home, so it was a bit different from an away game, but first half against Arsenal, they were absolutely awful. And it's only Arsenal's inability to spot that weakness in Man City and actually press on means, you know, Arsenal could have conceivably, if they'd have actually turned up and bothered. Could have been 3-0 up at half-time and that was game over. So I'm not completely blown away by Man City, but all of a sudden Aguero back means they've got an out-and-out finisher and probably the best in the division. So I think that only adds to the goals. You know, Mane is going to be on his way at the African Cup of Nations very shortly, so you'd expect a performance from him. And in the end, a draw is going to suit neither of these sides, but ultimately I think that's the way it's going to head as well. I think it would suit Man City that little bit more. But Liverpool, if they're going to close the gap on Chelsea, they've got to win this game. So the draw and both teams to score at 3-1 is what I'd play.
That's Liverpool versus Manchester City, televised 5:30 kick-off on New Year's Eve. The televised games on New Year's Day, Watford versus Tottenham at Vicarage Road first. Watford 9-2 to win the game. The draw is 11-4 with Spurs 7-10. And Hanstords, Harry Kane to score two or more in the match was 11-2. That's now 6-1. If you think Troy Deeney is going to score again and Watford are going to win, that was 13-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. Watford have actually never beaten Tottenham in a Premier League match. They've drawn two and lost four against Spurs. And they come into this on the back of that 1-1 draw with Palace, while Spurs thumped Southampton 4-1. Last night, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon. Last night, they beat Southampton 4-1. I really think Walter Mazzarri could be a good bet to be the next manager to leave, Tom. I watched that game against Palace and his side offered next to nothing in the first half. We're lucky to pick up a point in the end. They have been slightly better at home, Watford, but this is a game that if Spurs have title pretensions, they've got to go there and win comfortably.
Well, without a doubt, you know, this is a game you've got to mark down as 3 points. I mean, Watford, they are... You know, we talk about them every week. I never really know what to get from them or what we're going to get from them. What I do know is that you're not going to get a performance, I think, that's going to give, you know, Tottenham kind of, you know, a sleepless night before this game. I think Tottenham will be pretty relaxed and pretty confident about this game. I think they'll have looked at their festive fixture and thought, yeah, not bad. All right, we've got two away games, you know, over that Christmas week. You know, Southampton was a tough match and, you know, they were brilliant. Watford is the easier game of the two, without question. So, you know, based on that, I think Tottenham will be in for a pretty comfortable victory. I mean, you know, Watford themselves, you know, they would class as a little bit of a derby game, you know, the kind of North London clubs when they come to Watford. But I remember Arsenal earlier on this season just steamrolling them at home, and it was a very, very comfortable victory for them. And I would expect the same thing again. The other thing as well, this is a New Year's Day game. The New Year's Day atmospheres, you know, there is more than a whiff of hungover, you know, minds and voices and bodies.
And the fans are the same.
Yeah, exactly. these games are never great in terms of sort of spectacles. And this is purely, I've not got any stats to back this up. This is purely from years of watching football on New Year's Day. So I wouldn't expect a classic. I think Tottenham will win, but I think Tottenham will go back to where they have been this season, unlike the game at Southampton. And I'm going to back a Tottenham win and under 2.5 goals. And this just will be a job done from their point of view. As Watford are a team, I think they probably feel they're safe. And I think a lot of the players already have their feet up.
Tottenham win and under 2.5 is available at 5-2. Derek, this is a game that Spurs should win. The 7-10 to do so.
Well, I mean, what's happened this season? Has somebody decided to give Watford 4 points for a win or 5 points? Because they're in the 10th place. And I've seen them about five times this season and they are absolutely useless. And how bad is this Premier League if a team as ordinary, well, more than worse than ordinary, as Watford can be lying in 10th or 11th, wherever they are? It's ridiculous. And if Tottenham don't win this, well, this will be the match that they'll look back on when they finish fifth or something and kick themselves, because Watford are there for the taking. Against Palace on Monday, whatever it was, they were shocking, absolutely shocking. And, you know, people now, pundits must be looking back at the praise they heaped on Deeney and Ighalo last season and thinking, oh, God, we got that one wrong. Because those two look like Laurel and Hardy at the moment. And we know which one is the fat one. I mean, how Troy Deeney as a Premier League player with that physique, I'm sorry, he looks like a Sunday League player. Not just in physique, in ability at the moment. I can't see how Watford can possibly avoid defeat in this game. I'm not getting worked up over Tottenham's 4-1 win against Southampton. Because you look at that, you look at the first half hour in that game, and a 4-1 win for Spurs was the last thing you'd have written on a coupon. Same with Liverpool, by the way, against Stoke after half an hour. And yet they both did the business at the, you know, in the second half. So, I mean, Tottenham are full of quality going forward. You know, they're quite impressive at the back too. I mean, they're a side that should be challenging for the title. They must be a little bit disappointed with the way the season has gone for them. But may I just sense a little bit of a coming together for Spurs right now. And yeah, I mean, this is a gift for them. I think just under evens, it's a gift.
7-10 Spurs to win the game. Arsenal versus Crystal Palace is next. 4 p.m. kickoff. on New Year's Day. Arsenal 1-3 to win the match. The draw 9-2 and Crystal Palace 17-2. And Gunnosaurus Rex better watch out here, Derek, because Sam Allardyce is coming to town. And Allardyce's comments after Harry the Hornet mined that dive in front of Wilfred Zaha, saying he was out of order and it's a disgrace. People in glass houses come to mind, Derek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I thought he was the mascot, Big Sammy. He looks, doesn't he? I mean, it was a ridiculous. I mean, it was just a bit of fun, wasn't it? And yeah. The way football people do take themselves too seriously. Everybody watching that would have giggled. But Big Hippo Head gets a cob on, and, you know, and Zaha gets a cob on. Don't get me started on it. I mean, this is a fixture that, in my mind, it's a carbon copy of the Boxing Day one for Arsenal, at home to West Brom, a team that, you know, could cause them problems. Okay, they'll score against Palace. They only scored one against West Brom, and that was late on. They'll score against Palace, but Palace, in my eyes, are more likely to score than West Brom. It's one of these fixtures. You know, I know they've been appalling under Pardew, Palace, but you looked at them against Watford, and in that first half, you thought, this side are going to climb the table. There's too many good players here. There's too many players who can score goals, and particularly on the break. Remember 2 seasons ago or whatever, every time Palace were away from home, they were overpriced in my eyes, and I made hay that season on them. And I'm just tempted now. I think Allardyce will keep it a little bit tighter, but he will do. Keep it tighter at the back than Palace have been used to, without forfeiting their menace going forward, the likes of Zaha and even Benteke. I mean, they're capable of going away from home and scoring anywhere. And at what, 17-2, did you say 8.5-1? I'm tempted because Arsenal are not convincing anybody right now. They were lucky against West Brom. They've been lucky a few times. That win against the Baggies stopped a bad run for them as well. They're not in great shape at the moment. They're beatable in my eyes. And I've just got a funny feeling about this fixture for Palace.
17-2 Palace for Derek. Sam Allardyce, Tom, has often been a thorn in Arsene Wenger's side as well. His best spell against the Frenchman came when he was boss of Bolton at the turn of the century. I just wonder whether he's got the personnel required to frustrate the Gunners at the Emirates. You know how he'll want to set up. It's just whether he's got the players to do that.
Oh, this is like the yin and yang of Premier League managers meeting, isn't it? Whenever these two meet, I mean, you could not get two guys more at the polar opposite ends of how to set up a football team and how they want their sides to approach a game. And it has proved to be successful for Sam Allardyce, because there are certain managers that get under Arsene Wenger's skin, and he has the big criticism, I would say this season, but it's been every year for the last 5, 6, 7 seasons, is been that Arsenal don't have that plan B. Well, I felt they did it, you know, on some games. You know, for example, at Manchester United, at Old Trafford earlier this season, you know, he didn't start Giroud, and then he brings him off the bench. All of a sudden, it was completely different for Arsenal. They were getting balls in the box, crosses, and they had an aerial threat. So I actually felt playing Sanchez up top has given Arsenal a couple of different ways of playing. And what that meant for me was it was going to be a way of playing against teams like West Brom, teams like, you know, Palace and Southampton and other sides that come to the Emirates and try and frustrate them. But Arsenal aren't playing well enough here, you know, to be heavily fancied. Far from it for me. I mean, Palace will... You know, Sam Allardyce will turn things around. I just don't think he's got enough time. I mean, his stuff about the mascot was purely, you know, to just turn people's attention away from the fact that they drew a game. You know, I think everyone would have been expecting, you know, Big Sam to come in. Watford aren't that great, as we talked about, and maybe they'd get the victory. But in the end, everyone was talking about, you know, his comments about a mascot rather than actually, you know, what he's tried to do with the team, admittedly in a short space of time. So, look, they've got some good players. They've got some good defensive players as well at that club, and eventually he'll get it right. Look, I think Arsenal will win the game. You know, I don't see enough from Palace yet to suggest they can go there and cause an upset, but I think it'll be similar to the West Brom game. So I'm going to cover myself here and look at the correct score group betting, and Arsenal to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 at 15-8 is a price I like. And, you know, there's three scenarios there that could play out, and I could see them all landing at the Emirates.
If you're looking for that correct score group betting on the William Hill website, it's just below the goal scorer markets. Correct score group betting. Arsenal to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 15-8. On to the 3 p.m. matches on New Year's Eve that aren't televised. And we'll start at the King Power with Leicester City versus West Ham. Leicester 11-10 to win this game. The draw 12-5 with West Ham in the betting at 13-5. The enhanced odds, Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win was 14-5. That's now 4-1. And Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 7-1. Leicester unbeaten in their last 3 Premier League games against West Ham, but 16th now in the league after picking up only 17 points from 18 games this season. And just picking up on a point that you've made, Tom, on the podcast a few times recently, that result against Manchester City looking more and more like an anomaly now, more to do with how badly City defended rather than how well Leicester played. And they need to turn their form around quickly.
Yeah, and their home form was good to a point. You know, and now West Brom and Everton have gone to the King Power Stadium and picked up relatively comfortable victories. They haven't, you know, really been troubled by Leicester. And I go back to that Man City game, but Man City were hopeless. I mean, beyond hopeless. It's probably one of the worst defensive displays I've seen for a long time, especially against a Leicester side, who I don't think anyone would set up against them, other than a manager who maybe is either too arrogant or obviously didn't see too much of Leicester last season. Leicester are concerning me now, and they're concerning for their supporters. You know, Ranieri was even getting booed. Substitutions are being questioned. All's not well at the club, and the Vardy masks thing was just pathetic. You know, they need to get over that. West Ham, look, we looked at these three results, the three fixtures they had before Christmas, and thought Burnley, Hull at home, Swansea away. If they're going to be in a relegation battle, then they're going to end up picking up 1 point from those three games. If they're not going to be, they had to win all three. They've won all three. And admit, I don't care how nervy they were against Burnley and Hull, and they demolished an awful Swansea side, of course, a few days ago. So they're in good spirits here. I think they represent some value. I mean, Leicester have won one of their last nine Premier League matches. They've lost five of those games. And West Ham have done pretty well away from home. It suits them far better. They've drawn at Manchester United. They drew at Liverpool. And they had that big win at Swansea. I can't touch Leicester City. The way they're playing, the way they're going about things, they're not a price either that I want to be touching at 11 to 10. So I'm going to take West Ham. You know, they're on a little bit of a roll. They've got players that have got the bit of swagger back now. And Dimitri Payet to score on West Ham to win at 7 to 1 looks an awfully big price for a game where a set piece could be the deciding factor.
Derek, your thoughts?
Everything Tom says is right there. There's no point in me repeating it. I mean, West Ham are ridiculously overpriced. I don't understand what planet your odds compilers are to make Leicester just over evens, the form they're in. I mean, they lost against Everton in their last game. Now, that's bad enough, but this is an Everton team who's just been, you know, who couldn't get a result for love nor money, who were basically going through the motions, and Everton won comfortably in the end. West Ham had great results at Swansea. Okay, it's only Swansea, I know, but that continued a good run they're having. They're getting some of their players back fit now, the IUs, the Carrolls and that. And they're looking a different side to the one that went so long without a win. And the prices are ridiculous here. West Ham 13-5 all day long.
Swansea versus Bournemouth next at the Liberty. Swansea 7-4 to win this match. The draw 12-5 with Bournemouth 13-8. The enhanced odds, Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 3-1, now 4-1. And Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 10-1. That's been enhanced to 14-1. Bob Bradley gone after just 11 games in charge. And the board apparently taken 48 hours to mull over their options. Let's hope they're not leaving the decision to the same person that went with Bradley in the first place. The amount of people that said, I knew this wouldn't work after he was fired, seriously outweighed those that commented negatively straight after his appointment. Swansea versus Bournemouth. Will there be any sort of response here, Derek, from that firing by Swansea?
Well, there has to be, doesn't it? I mean, Swansea are relying on the new manager bounce, even though they haven't got a new manager in yet. I mean, even Harry Redknapp's thrown his hat into the ring. The negotiations have started now already with his dog, apparently. Swansea can't possibly be as bad as they have been. I mean, because it was clear. I mean, they were losing heavily to ordinary sides, and it was clear. I mean, that wasn't just being useless. That was all the signs of a team that weren't turning it on for the manager. A few weeks ago, I said, you've got to give him time. But sometimes it becomes clear it's not a happy marriage. It becomes clear very, very quickly. And he had to go looking at the results. I didn't know what to make of him when he first... But to be honest, I didn't write him off when he first came because he'd proved his worth on the international arena. I know it's different, but I thought you've got to give him a chance, got to give him a bit of time. But he had to go. And Swansea have got to improve. They couldn't possibly play as badly as they have been because they're just sipping goals to fun and not looking like scoring. It's whether you fancy Bournemouth there at 13-8. A Bournemouth side I can never catch right. I would just wish I hadn't seen their performance against Arsenal in defeat a few weeks ago because I've lost a few bob on them since then, backing them thinking this is a tidy side and they've done nothing since then. The 3-0 defeat at Chelsea on Boxing Day was no disgrace, I suppose. But I just don't see enough goals from them, to be honest. I should be backing them. Given how bad Swansea are, I should be backing Bournemouth there. But I know that Swansea are going to improve. I'm going to go for the draw at 12-5, mainly because I haven't got a clue.
Yeah, it's biggest of the three prices as well, the draw at 12-5, as you would imagine. Swansea actually scored twice in both league games against Bournemouth last season, but didn't win either match. They drew 2-2 at home and lost 3-2 away from home. And, Tom, they just haven't been able to deal with crosses into the box, really. We saw that against West Ham. Andy Carroll had an absolute field day against them. Was it the right decision, or should Bob Bradley have been given the January transfer window to try and work things out?
No, it's definitely the right decision because, you know, I think to all intents and purposes, there was not even a glimmer that they were getting any better. I mean, I'll put this question to you both. If Swansea had sacked Bob Bradley before Palace sacked Pardew, and say Sam Allardyce was the overwhelming, you know, front runner for both jobs because of his record at Sunderland and how he kept them up, do you think he'd have taken the Swansea job?
Allardyce.
Well, given the choice, you mean, between Swansea? Yeah. No, I think he'd have taken the Palace job.
But and if the Swansea job had come up and the Palace job hadn't, do you think he'd have sort of bided his time a little bit? Do you think he'd have taken it?
No, I think he'd have taken it.
Would you?
I think he'd have taken it, yeah.
Because the reason I ask that question is because I look at the Swansea squad and I think, you know, Allardyce will have looked at the Palace squad and thought, yeah, there's a lot of money that's been spent, but there's also some quality there. I look down this Swansea squad and I really don't know where any coach is going to do with this team. And you cannot underestimate the importance of someone like Ashley Williams. There's no big characters left in this team whatsoever. Sigurdsson is a fine player, but he's a player who is a decent mid-table Premier League player and a match winner on his day. But I look around the side and I look around the squad and I think there is not a lot there now. You know, and they're relying on young players at the back that are making elementary mistakes. Put a lot of faith, for example, in Alfie Mawson, the young centre-back they signed in the summer. And I just don't see anybody coming in and turning this around. I really don't, because the way they're shipping goals. I can't see the personnel being there that's going to turn it around. And I don't see them spending the kind of money that they're going to need to spend in January to turn it around. Just goes to show, you know, Swansea were the epitome of a well-run club. You know, Bournemouth enviously looked at a team like Swansea, you know, a few years ago when they were in League One and thought, that's what we want to do. Southampton, there were so many teams that were looking at Swansea, and it's just amazing how quick it can all unravel, and I think they're going down. And I think Bournemouth, you know, I keep wanting to bat them because I like them. but that's not enough for me, is it now? Because I'm looking at results and I'm looking at the, particularly away from home. I always think they're a good away side, but they've only won one of their nine away games. They've lost six of those away games, and I must have backed them maybe in half of those games and I've come short. But this is the one they've got to win, surely. I mean, West Ham, mentioned earlier, West Ham are doing all right, but they scored four at a canter against Swansea, and Bournemouth are a better side than West Ham in my eyes. So I think Bournemouth win this game. And I can't see there not being loads of goals. So you can either, I'd be happy with a Bournemouth victory and both teams to score. No problem there at 7-2, but also the Bournemouth winning over 2.5 goals at 13-5. I can't see Swansea turning it around that quick.
Next permanent Swansea manager, Chris Coleman 2-1, Ryan Giggs 2-1, Gary Rowett is 5-1, Paul Clement 6-1, Harry Redknapp 7-1, Alan Pardew 8-1, Roy Hodgson 10-1. 20-1 and bigger the rest. Any insight, Tom, into who's going to get the job?
Well, no, but the only thing with that list is that there are not a lot of people there. Until you get to Harry Redknapp with vast amounts of Premier League experience. Chris Coleman's got a bit, hasn't he? But apart from that, you know, you're just going to take a punt on somebody. For me, for Swansea now, I heard Swansea be described by somebody who knows the club very well as basically they've not changed how they've been run from when they were in the fourth division. And that was good to a point. But now it's not good. They need to think a little bit bigger. And I think they still think they can sign £300,000 players like they did for a period and then sell them on for massive profit. You know, the recruitment's dried up. So I think for me, they've just got to get somebody ready for next season. So, I don't know, Rowett or maybe even Ryan Giggs.
I quite like Alan Pardew in that market because 8-1, Derek, you know he's going to come in and you'll have results for maybe 3 or 4 months, and that might be enough to keep them up before he goes on his 12-month downturn.
Yeah, 8-1 is a big price. Yeah, Coleman. I mean, I don't see what's in it for him to take that job. Yeah. There must be. You know, he's so short in the betting. There must be some. You know, must be serious consideration for him. But I think he'd be foolish to take it, to be honest. But yeah, Pardew wouldn't. I wouldn't argue with that. Although the Swansea supporters probably would.
Where's Gary Monk in that list?
Good.
No, as long as he's not there, that's fine.
He's 40-1.
Ah, there you go. It's fine. I can relax. Biggest mistake they've made.
Southampton versus West Brom is next. Southampton 4-6, the draw 11-4 with West Brom 4-1. Enhanced odds, J. Rodriguez to score. And Southampton to win was 9-5, now 5-2. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 17-2, now in the betting at 10-1. Southampton, as we mentioned, beaten by Spurs 4-1. this could be tough for Southampton, Tom. West Brom had have had a difficult run of fixtures, lost against Chelsea, Man U and Arsenal, but taken care of Watford and Swansea in their last five as well. Instinctively, you'd think maybe pretty low on the goals this game, expected to be a tight match, but West Brom overpriced 4-1.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Southampton, are a little bit of a crossroads themselves now, you know, this season. You know, they're out of the European competition, they're out of the Europa League. And for both these clubs, they've probably overachieved to a point. Southampton are where they normally are. But West Brom, I mean, these two sides, you know, ahead of all the games, they sat side by side in the table. There's only a point between them. And, you know, we talked about West Brom and Tony Pulis. You know, you take all their results, you know, put all their wins in one category and all the clubs they've beaten and all the clubs that they've lost to or drawn to. And effectively, he beats the teams you would expect them to beat. So, you know, if they're playing anybody in that bottom half of the table, I'll bat West Brom. Are Southampton a top half of the table side? Now, they are currently, but is it a slight false position? I'm not too sure. There's a middle period of that Premier League. You've got the teams at the bottom, obviously. And then Southampton, West Brom, Everton even, who are still clinging on. They're seventh. Watford, West Ham have climbed the table. I don't really know what to make of all those sides. I don't think there's a standout team amongst them. But I'm looking at this fixture and I'm thinking this has got sort of like a... I don't know, both these sides might be in it for the sort of fair play award at the end of the season. They've both got that kind of ring to them. I think it will probably be a draw. West Brom have not disgraced themselves with the tough games that they've had. They won the one game over the last month that they had to win. Southampton, yeah, right, beaten by Spurs, but they did do well first half hour. I just think West Brom away from home, again, instinctively, I want to be looking at them to nick a point. I mean, they, you know, they kept Chelsea and Arsenal down to one goal. They drew with Hull, which was a disappointment. They went to Leicester and won. You know, Liverpool had to, you know, had to scrape past them as well with a 2-1 victory. So away from home against better sides, they keep it tight. I just think everything is pointing towards the draw in this one.
Yeah, I agree. 11-4, the draw. Decent price as well. Derek?
Well, you oppose Southampton. I mean, it's the most ridiculous price of the year. It really is. It's only one day old, the year, but it's the most ridiculous price. Because 4-6, how on earth are the odds on to beat West Brom? Only one place behind them. A West Brom team, as Tom rightly said, don't lose to ordinary teams. They only lose to the best West Brom. Ordinary teams, they take points off, generally beat them. And Southampton, in my eyes, are an ordinary team. They're lucky position. Owes everything to the fact that there's an awful lot of ordinary teams in the Premier League. 4-1 West Brom, in my eyes, is a gift, right? But if you want a stone-cold absolute certainty, West Brom with a goal start, 21-20, Blackies ain't going to be losing this fixture. So if you want to play safe, do that one. But I don't like that. That's not my MO. I'm going for West Brom at 4-1.
The Baggies 4-1 for Derek and Tom going with the draw in that game. On to the action at Turf Moor, Burnley versus Sunderland. Burnley 29-20, the draw 21-10 with Sunderland in the market at 11-5. Enhanced odds, Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win. Was 3-1, now 4-1. And Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 19-5. Now 5-1. We've talked about the feature match this weekend, which is Liverpool versus Manchester City. But Derek, this is one of the biggest matches, undoubtedly, because Burnley got that big win against Middlesbrough. It's just such a big game. 6 points between them, could be 3 or 9 by the end of the afternoon. And if it's 9, Burnley have on Sunderland, they'll be thinking, well, we've got a very good chance of staying up now.
I think victory here will probably seal survival for Burnley. That's how big a game it is. It's a relegation 26-pointer, never mind a 6-pointer. I mean, you can't back Sunderland, basically, 11-5. I don't see any reason for backing them if you don't win enough games, you don't score enough goals. Can't happen. I mean, and Burnley, the teams they've beaten at home this season, I mean, they shouldn't be that kind of price to beat a bog standard Sunderland side. They shouldn't be 6-4, basically. Burnley to beat Sunderland. I don't see why they are that price. I've got to go for them because we keep saying, well, they can't keep up this home form, but they keep doing it. I know they left it late to beat Middlesbrough, but still, it was a great result for them. Has to be Burnley.
I'm kicking myself, to be honest, Tom, that I missed that 2-1. They have been bigger than 2-1 to win those home games. They've been winning. They're slightly shorter on this occasion, 29-20, to beat a Sunderland side. But I'm kicking myself for not backing them against Borough.
Yeah, well, you know, we knew it was going to be a tight game, didn't we? You know, we didn't think there were going to be many goals in that one. And Burnley just seemed to have at home, you know, the crowd are behind them and they never feel like they're going to lose a match. They really don't. When they have lost games as well, they've been a bit unfortunate. They got caught cold by Swansea the only opening day of the season. You know, Arsenal got that well, let's just say three fortunate decisions in one moment that got them the winner. So, you know, aside from everything, Burnley have been a decent side at home. And contrast that, I'll read out one result which sums up what I think about this game. And it came on the 10th of December, so not many weeks ago. Swansea City 3, Sunderland 0. Now, Sunderland, away from home, they're not scoring goals. They failed to score in five of their seven away matches. They've only won one game away from home, so they've lost seven of those nine games. They've actually been on a decent run for a team that's down there, but they don't seem to be clawing or gaining much ground. I mean, some teams, you know, Leicester are kind of dropping a little bit. Middlesbrough have dropped a little bit closer to them. But ultimately, they always seem to be a win away from jumping out of the relegation zone, and they can't seem to get it. Sunderland don't score away from home. They were absolutely, Swansea walked over them, and there's no way Swansea at the Liberty are on equal terms with Burnley at Turf Moor. So it's Burnley all day long in this one.
Burnley 29-20 for both Tom and Derek. Manchester United are in action against Middlesbrough at Old Trafford. At 1-4, Manchester United. The draw 5-1, Middlesbrough 14-1. The enhanced odds, Henrik Mkhitaryan to score and Manchester United to win, was 11-8, now 6-4. Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win, was 18-1. And now 25-1. Tom, Manchester United playing outstandingly well at the moment. There's the air of superiority returning to the demeanour of Jose Mourinho. Zlatan Ibrahimovic working well with Paul Pogba and scoring goals. And they've got a player in Henrik Mkhitaryan with that X factor now as well. Unbeaten in 11, and they've won the last five, Manchester United.
Yeah, Mkhitaryan, you know, I thought when Manchester United signed him, I thought he was, you know, for the cost, you know, for the money that they paid, he was probably one of the best sort of value signings of all the big clubs over the summer. And it looked like it was all going to end pretty disastrously for him. But, you know, I think Jose Mourinho's seen the light in some respects. He's I don't know if he stumbled across it or this was his master plan all the way, to eventually kind of unleash his strongest side, you know, maybe halfway through the season. But they're doing it. The fans are positive. They've got a bit of swagger about them. And Middlesbrough are the kind of side that they should beat up here. Ita Karanka worked with Jose Mourinho for a number of years at Real Madrid. And, you know, whether that gives him any kind of insight or not, I'm not too sure. The point is he's playing Manchester United at a bad time. And look, you give Middlesbrough a lot of credit. They went to Arsenal. You know, they went to Man City. They've been, you know, some tough places this season and managed to get points. But Manchester United at the moment, you can't not be looking at them. And for me, you've just got to look at, you know, probably the players in form of the players that are going to cause Middlesbrough problems. I certainly think Manchester United win to nil is a bet, because I don't think Middlesbrough will get near them. I think, you know, on the big pitch at Old Trafford, you need a little bit of pace about your side. And it's my one bugbear about Middlesbrough is they just do not have enough pace in them to cause teams problems on the counter-attack. So, you know, I think you want to be looking at possibly some of the goal scorers. But, you know, the enhanced odds offer itself, you know, Mkhitaryan to score and Manchester United win at 6-4, it's fair enough. But I think Manchester United will cover a handicap now. I think they're confident. They've got the swagger. And I'm going to back them minus two goals at 2-1.
Minus two, 2-1. Derek?
That's exactly what I did against Sunderland on Saturday, whenever it was, Boxing Day, and that last-minute goal from Barini chinned me. You're right. I mean, people are going on about Mkhitaryan. Liverpool wants to sign him at one stage, and I was licking my lips at the prospect. I thought he was a great player, the little I'd seen of him in Europe, and he's looking a class act. People are now raving about Ibrahimovic because he's scoring goals, but still, in my eyes, doesn't do enough. The man is Pogba. He is looking, at the moment, head and shoulders above anything. He really is. And I was at a do over the last few days, full of Liverpool fans, and getting on my soapbox after a few pints, going on about Pogba, what a bargain he was at 98 million, how Man United are going to finish above Liverpool. How I didn't get filled in, God only knows. But I do believe that. I do believe he will turn out to be a bargain. And even now, despite the shocking start he had, and the time it took to settle, I still think he's got a squeak of getting a Player of the Year award. That's how much I rate him. And yet United will win this all day long. It's inconceivable that they wouldn't, the way they're playing. The fact of playing against a team that are not a threat, basically, even when they have all of the ball, and they ain't going to get any of the ball in this game. United minus two looks a gift, 2-1.
Manchester United minus two at 2-1. I'm tempted to come round there and shake some sense into you right now, actually, Derek. Without the beers. Chelsea versus Stoke is the last game we're going to look at. Chelsea 1-4, the draw 5-1 with Stoke 12-1. Enhanced odds, Cesc Fabregas to score and Chelsea to win was 12-5, at now 3-1. Joe Allen to score and Stoke to win was 22-1, is now 28-1. And Derek, this unbelievable run continues. 12 Premier League wins in a row, and they've only conceded in two of those games as well. They've won the other 10-0, and they beat Bournemouth 3-0 without Costa and Kante and with the minimum of fuss, Derek.
Yeah, they're looking a class act. They are the team to beat without doubt. The problem is no one has managed it for ages. That said, of the last four league games, three were against teams who were this morning, they're in the bottom half of the table, and the fourth was against West Brom, who soon will be. So I'm not getting too worked up. But that said, you go further back, they've beaten good teams, Arsenal, Tottenham, United, I think, are in that spell. You know, they're worthy title favourites without doubt, and they don't look to have a weakness. They really don't. But the thing is, they're not good enough to keep getting 13, 14, 15, 16 games consecutive victories. They're not that good a side. I mean, they're probably at the moment the best team in the league, but they're not the best team of all time in the league. And to get that kind of wins on the bounce, you're going to have to be. If I hadn't seen Stoke in the second half against Liverpool, I'd have given them a squeak here. I did. I backed them at Anfield. And when they went 1-0 up, I had mixed feelings, obviously being a Liverpool fan, but money is paramount. So secretly, I was delighted. And they were playing well enough to go 2-0, even 3-0 up. Liverpool looked in disarray. But their collapse in the second half was worrying. As soon as they went behind, they didn't try a leg. And I can't back them because of that. Chelsea are 1-4. I'd rather back Man United to beat Middlesbrough at 1-4 any day of the week. I'm not sure this is the kind of banker bookies are saying, but in their current form, how can you oppose them? So I'd have to go for Chelsea to win 2-0, which I'm looking for the price here, but I'm still guessing
five,
it's got to be odds
on. 5-6 it is, Derek.
Yeah, 5-6. I knew it would be a shade of odds on. That looks a sensible bet.
Yeah, 5-6. It has happened in 10 of their 12 Premier League matches in their run of 12 without losing, winning all 12 of those, Tom. It does look the sensible bet here, doesn't it? Chelsea 2-0.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, I think it's been something that obviously if you've been backing, consecutively, you've been landing a decent profit backing Chelsea in that market. And, you know, Chelsea, when they look at the next month, nobody has the European games at the moment. The FA Cup's to come in. But, you know, they go to Tottenham and they go to Anfield, over the next month. And they've got the Stoke game, they've got a trip to Leicester, and they've got Hull City at home. So, you know, the Tottenham and Liverpool game, you know, I just wonder what kind of lead they could have over Liverpool, for example, when they get to the end of January and that game comes up, you know. And, you know, these are the games that Chelsea, of course, have to win and will win. And Stoke, you know, I'm with Derek, if I hadn't have seen that sort of collapse, you know, they took the lead at Arsenal, collapsed second half. They took the lead against Liverpool, collapsed in the end. They had absolutely zero backbone. You know, in the last five away games, they've taken the lead. In four of those matches, you know, they've beaten Hull and they've beaten Watford, drew at West Ham, and then we're pretty much embarrassed by Arsenal and Liverpool. You know, Mark Hughes won't be happy with that, you know, especially the way that he wants his team set up. You know, if you take the lead at those kind of places, you've got to give yourself a chance of getting a result. Chelsea with Costa back, Hazard, 22 goals between them this season. Hazard's the pick for me, though, in this game. 7 of his 9 goals have all come at home. So I think, you know, you're getting short prices when you're looking at the anytime market for these players. But 19 to 20 is, and also 2 or more at 9 to 2, I think looks very, very tasty. Particularly when I look at, you know, how Stoke set up and the space I think that Hazard will have in this game. Mm. I think he's going to absolutely lap it up. So he would be my pick for a goal scorer. But you know, Chelsea win 2-0, is absolutely great. But I do like Chelsea to win by 3 or more goals at 9-4, just based on the trend of Stoke away from home of late. They've been conceding a lot.
Very good. 10 games done and dusted. I'll give you an update on the Naps table in the new year. Hopefully, we'll manage to pick a winner before the new year. And then I'll give you the updated Naps table at the end of the next podcast, listeners. So the Naps chaps... Derek, do you want to lead us off?
Yeah. I mean, given that you're going to give an update, I'm going to have to get some sort of... I've got to put a bit of a sheen on it. Otherwise, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to have to go for a big price. I'm going to go for 4-1 West Brom at Southampton.
West Brom for Mr. McGovern. Tom?
I'm going to go for... There's two I'm kind of torn between here, but I'm going to go for Lukaku to score and Everton to win at Hull 2-1.
Lukaku to score and Everton to win 2-1. For treble purposes, I'll have to put in the Lukaku to score and Everton just to win at 19-10 because the enhanced odds are singles only. And I'm going to... I fancied two bets. I fancied draws in both those games. I'll change my mind. I will go with... I've got no idea what else I fancy.
The goals, Man City, Liverpool... No,
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, Liverpool-Man City, I'll go for over 3.5 goals. I do like that in the market at 7-4. So the treble is West Brom at 4-1, Lukaku to score and Everton to win at 19-10 for the treble, and Liverpool versus Man City over 3.5 at 7-4, 12.75-1. Is the double price, and the anytime wincast can't go in the treble, so you'll have to work that around yourselves, listeners. 12.75-1 for the double, and Lukaku and Everton anytime wincast at 2-1, and the enhanced odds for Tom. Chaps, thank you for your company this year.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be back with more Premier League action in the new year. Thank you for listening. If you want to download this via iTunes, do subscribe and you'll get this podcast delivered weekly, or alternatively go to audioboom.com and type in William Hill. You can follow us all on Twitter as well, at D Kellner, at Tom Kerwin, at BetLikeAPro, and myself, Derek, and Tom will be back in the new year.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.